Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you have called us as your people. Lord, we are yours. You have paid a price for each one of us. We belong to you. You are our owner. You were the one who made us and made us for you. Lord, we want to honor you. And I pray that as you have been speaking to us directly, Lord, to honor Christ as Lord in our hearts, that each one of us, Lord, would not be lazy, would not be negligent, but ensure that in our hearts, Christ is honored as Lord. Nobody is above him. Nothing is above him. But Christ is honored as Lord. For that was why we were created, to honor Christ as Lord in our hearts. We were created by him and for him, as your word says. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that we would realize and understand that there is where we find fulfillment for ourselves, when we honor Christ as Lord in our hearts. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, speak to each one. Lord, challenge each one that we would continually honor Christ as Lord and not dishonor him by putting him beneath something else in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we pray for the grace and for the strength to do this daily in our lives, honoring Christ as Lord in our hearts, not dishonoring him, but honoring him by not allowing anything else to come above him and before him. Lord, we commit the rest of the service into your hands this afternoon. Speak to us through your word again, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to continue with the study of the book of Colossians. So I'm going to read chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae who are faithful brothers, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now, we looked at the writer Paul, who introduced himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by God's will. And we looked at what made this unusual was the fact that Paul did not just introduce himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he qualified that apostleship by saying, by the will of God. And it's so important because Paul probably did that for two reasons. The first reason was because the church or the Christians in Colossae didn't know Paul. Paul had never stepped into the city of Colossae. He had no ministry in Colossae, and the church was not established by him. It was most probably, as we said, established by Epaphras, who we believe was saved in Ephesus, while Paul had a very fruitful 3 years of ministry in the city of Ephesus. And I showed you on the map that the city of Ephesus is found in the southwestern region of Turkey, today's Turkey. And you can actually find, and people do go there, to actually see the ruins of the city of Ephesus in that area, in that part of Turkey. And Paul, maybe one reason why he had to qualify himself by the will of God could possibly be that he indeed did not know them. But the other reason was that because even during New Testament times, even in the early church, there were false apostles. There were self-appointed apostles. There were self-styled prophets who went about deceiving Christians. And Paul wanted to make a distinction. He wanted to make a clear distinction that he was not one of them. That his apostleship could be traced to God and God's will. In writing to the Corinthian church, Paul, the second book of Corinthians, is basically a defense that Paul is making against his ministry, against his apostleship. And in that book, he writes in chapter 11, verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." There were people dissing him there. There were people actually discrediting him there. There were people who were just throwing, slinging mud at him and his ministry. And he had to write a defense. And he had to label them for who they are. He said, "These are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." And even today, there are such people. There are such people. So we should not be surprised, or we should not be naive and expect everybody who calls himself an apostle to be a genuine apostle. In fact, when Jesus writes or sends his message through the book of Revelation to the seven churches in Asia, one of the churches he writes to and one of the leaders he writes to is the church leader in Ephesus. I hope everybody is with me. And in that, Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus says, "I know your works." He's speaking to the leader of the church in Ephesus. "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false." Even Jesus was telling the church in Ephesus that they did well for testing those who called themselves apostles, but were not. So even that time, they were false apostles, self-appointed people, people who called themselves apostles, Jesus says here, who called themselves apostles and are not. So it was very important that Paul qualify himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. No other person. Apostleship, pastorship, you know, teaching, evangelism, evangelists. These are people that God calls himself. These are not people that can stand up and say, "I am an apostle, I am a pastor, I am." No. These are called by God, and their calling is affirmed and confirmed by the church's leadership. So moving on, I'm going to tell you what surprised me 2 weeks ago was when I asked how many people, because Paul says he's writing to the saints in Christ at Colossae who are faithful brothers. So I asked how many of you were saints. And I was surprised to find that about half were not sure. So I'm going to look a little deeper at that. And when I do that, I'm going to actually give you some scripture to back up what I am saying. And Paul is saying here, he's writing to the saints in Christ at Colossae. Now, saints in the New Testament refers to believers, period. Followers of Jesus Christ were referred to as saints. It was not something that was reserved like it is today. It is not a few pious or reverent people who are kind of canonized by ecclesiastical bodies, by churches. And unfortunately, because that is the dominant thing that we have grown up with within different churches in the world right now, you have saint someone. By the way, the word saint is not a title. I'm going to come to that. It's not a title. It refers to those who are called by God. It refers to those who are called out of the world by God's electing grace to be his people. It is not referring to people who are totally sinless or extremely pious or very reverent, though we are called to be without sin, though we are called to be reverent. It refers to God's peculiar people belonging exclusively to him, people he has called out of the world. And to help us see that, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And again, Paul, in his greeting and salutation to the church in Corinth, this is what he says. So turn with me, please, to this is the central verse that I'm going to look at verses for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother. See how Paul, again, he defends his apostleship, qualifies it by saying, by God's will. Verse 2. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both their Lord and ours. How many groups of people do you see in that one single verse? How many groups of people do you see in that one verse? Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he is basically identifying one group of people. It's a single group of people that he, in a sense, describes with different terms and with different description. So the first one he says is the church at Corinth. The original, I'm going to read a translation, a direct translation for you. It's known as the Young's Literally Translation. This is what it says. To the assembly of God that is in Corinth is the first one. The church of God is the assembly of God. It is the people of God. That's the first thing. So he is writing to the people of God, that the church is the people. And the church is not a building. The church is not anything else, but he wants to make sure that they understand who it is he is writing to. The second one he says is that to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. The same group of people, friends. The same group of people. And it's so important. Sanctification, I'm going to go into detail some other time, means being set apart, being made holy is what sanctification is about. And these people that Paul is talking about have been sanctified in Christ. Sanctified in Christ. And that's why they can be referred to as holy or saints. Not because they are good in themselves. No. He made a good point of making sure that they are known. They are kind of clear that he's not talking about their lives right there. In fact, if you read the book of Corinth, you'll find that they were the most messed up church in the New Testament. Further on, he tells them, it is widely reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and the kind of sexual immorality that is not even tolerated among Gentiles. And these were Christians. Yet at the beginning, he addresses them as sanctified, as holy. And we need to get this straight, that our sanctification, our holiness, our ability to stand before God as without blame, without guilt, is not because we live well enough that God accepts us. That's why he said to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is the point, friends. Being in Christ Jesus is the key, friends. We can be as good as we can possibly be. We can try our hardest to live holy lives. But we will never be good enough for God. Because we're messed up. We can't. But in Christ Jesus, we are perfect. And that's what Paul is saying here. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Turn to me within the same epistle to chapter 6 and verse 9 onwards. There's this beautiful. This is what Paul says in verse 9. He tells them, the Corinthian Christians, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or anyone practicing homosexuality, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. He said none of these will qualify for God's kingdom. And then listen to what he says, verse 11. And some of you used to be like this. You used to be like this. You were these people. And then he goes on to say, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You could have come from whatever background you could come from. You could have been the worst sinner that you could think of. And you, many of you know the story of the prostitute who approached Jesus. And he was sitting in someone else's house. She came and started to wash his feet and wipe it with her hair. And the people there were disgusted. If only he knew who this person was, they said. Didn't matter, Jesus, to Jesus. Whatever background you have, however bad you have lived or are living, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He's listed all the things that happened in Corinth. It was the center for homosexuality. There were male prostitutes in that city. And he mentions that as well. And he said, none of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God. But even though you were there before, he says, now you're in Christ. You used to be like this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. It is in Christ Jesus we are sanctified. And it does not and cannot mean that we go back to how we were living before. But first and foremost, we need to understand our sanctification, our being made holy is in Christ. So important. In Christ. Going back to verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. He says, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And then called this version, as well as many of the versions you're holding, will say, called to be saints. How many of you have a version which says, called to be saints? Okay. You'll be surprised. The Greek hasn't got the verb to be. That's why one of the reasons I like this translation. It says, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called as saints. And then Young's literal translation says, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus called saints. That's the correct translation of the Greek. Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus called saints. We are saints because we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, and you are in Christ, then you are sanctified. You are a saint. You are made holy. That's what Paul is saying. And then he goes on to say, not only you, he says, but all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only you, but all those who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you may remember that on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came for the first time, powerfully manifested in the city of Jerusalem and came in the form of tongues of fire and landed on the apostles and the disciples of Jesus Christ, Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 people turned to Christ. And you know, as he did that, in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, this is what he said. He said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? That's the main thing, friends. And this Jesus that sanctifies can only do so when you call upon his name. And that's what it says here. Who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus is the only name under heaven by which we can be saved. There is no salvation outside that name. There is no salvation. You are lost and eternally damned if you have not called upon that name from your heart sincerely and accepted him as your Savior. That is the only way God has made it possible to escape eternal judgment. That's why he says there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name, guys. He is able to sanctify those who come to him. We are saints because we have called upon his name. We have trusted him. He has become our Savior. And I want to end by really asking those of you who may not have done that, have you truly called upon the name of Jesus? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 clearly tells us it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The key is not just the confession, but if you believe in your heart, if your confession is sincere. And some of us may have confessed Christ, but deep within our hearts, our confessions may not have been sincere. And we need to test that. We need to kind of search our hearts. We need to look into our hearts. And that's why God, I believe, is speaking to us as well today, earlier on, when the scripture says, honor Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's what God wants us to do, to honor Christ as Lord in our hearts. And as I conclude this afternoon, that we are called saints, as Paul says, because we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ Jesus that our sanctification happens. We cannot and will never be able to sanctify ourselves, to make ourselves good enough, holy enough to stand before God. But God has provided a means. God has provided a means. Stop struggling. Stop trying to be good. Stop trying to be perfect. You have become perfect if you are in Christ, because Christ's perfection and righteousness has become yours. At the end of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is what Paul says. Verse 30, but it is from God that you are in Christ, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. There's nothing nobody could boast about. No preacher, no apostle, no prophet, no pastor, no whatever you can want to call him. And no pope, by the way, as well, if you want to call him that, can boast to say that I am righteous on my own. No. It is because we are in Christ that God gives us that sanctification. That we are his people. That we become saints. So sainthood is not something that's reserved for the pious, for the reverent. It is you and I. It is the church of God. It is those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. It is those who have fled to Christ and said, I am sinful. I need help, and have repented from their hearts and called upon his name sincerely. I want to ask you this afternoon as I conclude. Have you truly called upon Jesus sincerely? Have you believed that he is Lord, and have you set him aside as Lord in your hearts? That's a question for you to answer this afternoon. Let us pray. And I'll give you a few moments to think on that, to reflect for yourself. Some of you may not have known and may not have realized that only when you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation, is what the scripture says. Those of us who have done that, how sincere are we? Is Christ being honored as Lord in our hearts? That's what I want to ask you. Are you honoring Christ as Lord in your heart? Let's just reflect on that for a few moments. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give thanks this afternoon for being called by you, for being your people, for being sanctified by your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that you have given us this position that we would have never been able to attain on our own. Lord, I pray this afternoon that none of us would take it for granted, that none of us would take it lightly, that none of us would play around with our position, but live up to that position that you have put us in. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be committed, would be dedicated, Lord, to making Christ Lord in our hearts, to setting him apart and honoring him as Lord in our hearts continuously, Lord. Not only when we come to church on Sundays, but every single day, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name, as people sanctified in him, that we would give him the top position in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would live gratefully as holy people, saints that you have made us, Father God. Lord, we pray that each one of us would just come to you for the grace to live as saints that you have called us and made us to be. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our position. And we thank you for each one of us who has made that decision and are in Christ. And I pray for those who may not have made that decision, Father God, that your Spirit would just continue to convict them, to bring them to that place where only in Christ is their salvation, where only in Christ is their sanctification, where only in Christ we can approach fearlessly the throne and judgment seat. Father, we ask you this all in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.